Last week, in a story heard on WBFO, Dan Telvach of Investigative Post reported on the presence of radioactive waste at dozens of mostly residential sites on Grand Island and Niagara County. On this morning's Press Pass, Dan Telvach provides more information on the waste that was created decades ago by local chemical companies.
So what did they do with this stuff, this byproduct? Well, before it was licensed by the government as radioactive material, it appears, based on these records, that they sold it or they gave it away to people that used it for driveways, to gravel their driveways, to gravel parking lots, to gravel underneath roads. You know, some have found it in flower beds.
Mm.
And the amounts that they were finding ranged in anywhere from triple to, you know, 70 times what's in the natural environment. You know, they're cleaning up two of those properties. Well, they're cleaning up one of those properties, and they'll further assess another that have some of the highest readings.
You mentioned in your story, I think, there are 60 sites, Grand Island, Niagara County.
Yeah.
What are some of the other sites where this has been confirmed?
The material seems to be scattered throughout Lewiston, Niagara Falls. Some of the roads that are mentioned in this 1986 report that is the source of where I created these maps. But some of the roads that they found it on and measured it at are Ridge Creek and Upper Mountain Roads in Lewiston, Grand Island Boulevard, Military Lewiston Porter and Portage Roads, and Buffalo Avenue in Niagara Falls. But it's who knows how long it's really been there, because these metallurgical companies that they believe might be responsible operated, you know, as, you know, in the 1890s, they, you know, late 1800s they started. So this stuff could have been there for a very, very, very long time. We have no idea, you know, what potentially could have happened.
Officials are saying that, no, there's not really any specific threat. But what about the case of what? Is it the Holy Trinity Cemetery?
Sure.
Tell me about that.
They found out as early as 2006 that the groundskeepers were mowing this field and were running over this slag rock, this gravel-like material. They were running over, and it was creating clouds of dust. They asked the authorities, am I at risk for breathing this in? And their answer was, just don't mow here anymore. But the sentence after that says, which may be very, and I'm paraphrasing, may be difficult to do because the slag is pretty much everywhere there. They knew the kids were playing on that field. Children were playing on this field where this contaminated rock is at the surface. It's not buried underground. It's at the surface. I don't know why it took until April of this year to fence that property in, to at least keep people away from it.
The idea of maybe cleaning it up. A, what would it cost? How can authorities go about tracking down who's responsible for this? Who should be covering the cost of these cleanups?
That's a great question. Okay, there's precedent for this working in EPA Region 10, which is the Pacific Northwest, where in the late 90s, mid-90s, this very similar material, they called it phosphorus slag that had radioactive elements in it, was actually in people's foundations. And they had a comprehensive program where they found the responsible party. The responsible party agreed to pay for assessments and any cleanup that needed to be done. I don't see why that cannot be copied here. But they need to find the responsible parties. And I think that they're looking at one primarily, even though they know of two. And I can't explain to you, they won't really answer these questions, why they're not doing something more comprehensive to find all the responsible parties. You can only be left, you know, to believe that they just don't think it's serious enough.
Dan Telvach, appreciate your time here on Press Pass. Looking forward to talking more in the future. And as always, thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.